right. Well, I'm excited to tell you all about what's going on over there because it was just an incredible opportunity to be able to go. I mean, I think everybody that comes back from a trip like that says that. So I'm just going to get that out of the way, but I mean it, okay? But I want to leave you with one main point today, and that is this church has been partnering with that ministry over there for a long time. And I can tell you, as sure as I'm standing here, that every investment that we have made with our prayers, with our finances, you know, if you're part of our church, with your giving to the church and the church gives to them, is going in just straight up fertile soil. And so let me tell you why I think that way, okay? Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And that is such a simple verse. And what I want you to know very simply is that every one of those things is going on over there. Because I don't know about y'all, but me here in Northwest Georgia, sometimes I look around and I read that verse and it's like, where is this happening? And I know it's happening. I mean, I see fruit that it's happening in relationships that I have, you know, at work, all these kind of things. But it's like somebody hit the nitrous oxide button over there with the way that it's happening, okay? And so let me explain further. While we were there, we baptized probably 20 people in some, you know, breathtakingly beautiful river that's flowing into the Caribbean Sea like you just can't even imagine. But anyway, we baptized 20 people. We spoke in 7 churches. I think the first 2 days we were there, we did 10 services. It was pretty well a marathon, but the things that God has put in the team that went over there got the chance to go forth, and we got to be a blessing to them, okay? And let me just explain a little further about the structure over there, because I want y'all to know in some detail what's going on. There's a church there in Ojeda, and this is the middle of nowhere. And this is like, you know, I don't have time to get into all the culture differences and all this stuff, but it's very rural. There's like no grocery stores. You got to drive like an hour to get to the grocery store. This is the environment we're talking about. And the church in Ojeda has been, and Craig could do this part more justice than me. I don't know how long it's been there, but I know that we've been involved with it for a long time, and it's grown a lot. And so it's kind of like the headquarters. And then from that church, there's like 6 other churches within like, I think there's 5 other churches within like a 45-minute drive of there. And then there's 2 in the capital of Santo Domingo that are fairly new, which that's like a 4-hour drive, just depending on how bad traffic is. So you've got the church in Ojeda. I'm going to say there was probably like, I don't know, 100 people in that church. That's like half the town, okay? And I'll come back to that in a minute. But these other 7 churches are kind of in their infancy. They're in, like, somebody's garage, okay? You know, dirt floor, whatever. But when you get in these churches, we're in here on a Friday afternoon, okay? Friday afternoon, there's, like, 20 people in there. But I'm telling you, with the praise and worship that was coming out from that side of somebody's house from those 20 people, there wasn't a demon within 10 miles. Amen. Of those places, because it's just the passion for God and the way that he's affecting their lives is something just very remarkable, very refreshing. And so there's 7 of these little micro churches right now. And so coming back to fertile soil, they're at a point now where they've got a leader in each church, you know, and they're trying to build some structure in each one of those. You know, they've kind of got the base camp in Ojeda that's got some form or fashion of that, but there's 7 more of them out there that need our prayers. You know, they're trying to get them to the place where they can stand on their own, because that's the way that it needs to be sustainable. But there's still, like, there's just a lot of needs. How many of you have ever started something new before, like a new business or a new ministry? It's hard. Okay, so I think the battering rams come in, the flag's been put in the ground, and now things are just, that work is complete, but now it's like it's growing really, really, really fast. And you have growing pains with all that, that need wisdom. You know, they need teaching, they need resources, yada, yada, yada. Craig showed some pictures about the church in Ojeda, about the expansion they did and how beautiful it was, and it is beautiful. What I want y'all to know is that building is a huge part of that community. I don't have words for it. You go in there Saturday morning, there's like 50 kids. That might be the only good meal they get that day. You know, and they're all in there singing to Jesus and getting fed spiritually and physically. It's just it's a beautiful thing. It's like, it gives you like envy. Like, God, you know, I want to do something like that here. But it was huge. And then we had a Friday night service, and there was a bunch of teen girls there that they had a dance routine. And we've all seen dance routines, right? But it was like when you're in the culture of this really small community and they don't have resources, you know what I mean? And they're all in there and they're dressed like to the nines in their dance uniform. It was really good. It was really anointed. Like, I wanted to videotape it, but I was so messed up I couldn't even get my phone out of my pocket just watching, because what I saw was like God was in every bit of their lives in that dance routine. And it's like a bright spot, you know what I mean? I'm not saying they got bad lives. That's not what I'm saying at all. But for them to have a place to express that, for them to be in a community that values the Lord, that's like, you know, the foundation of their relationships amongst the girls and the leaders on that team, and to give them an outlet to express that glory to God in that unique way that only they can, it's priceless. It was priceless. And so I just, my whole point of this is, it's making a difference. And it's such a huge part of that community that if those other seven churches can, you know, kind of use that model or however it works out, God knows, you know what I mean? Just leave that with Him. But it's a great starting point, and it's a great model. And there's no reason for me to sit here and think that even though these churches right now are in the side of somebody's garage, I'm telling you that that God is moving over there in a way where there could be seven more dance routines going over there in seven different places in a couple years, feeding 50 kids every Saturday morning, just like they are there in Ojeda. So anyway, that's the report. And then there was a couple other things that I wanted to tap on to, and I'll be brief with these, but it was pretty cool the way that that God sets this stuff up. Because as Sean said, it was Johnny Carnes. Many of you know him. He's got his own church, I think at Ringgold or Tunnel Hill or something. Martin Quinones from Worship Center at Westside, Craig and I from here, and then Pastor Roman Mancera's church here in Dalton. You know, they've been heavily involved in this too. And it's taken all of that to kind of bring things together to where they are. Because, you know, we've got a piece, we don't have it all. And, you know, for instance, if Martin hadn't gone on this trip, Ramon Quello, the guy that's over all that, was usually the translator. He couldn't even come because of the hurricane. He ended up showing up at like 1 a.m. Sunday morning, driving 4 hours to come speak at the service Sunday morning. But we had all the services scheduled for Friday and Saturday. And so the main guy couldn't even be there. But since Martin was with us, he was able to translate and keep everything moving. And when Ramon got there on Sunday, he said, he pulled Craig off to the side. And he said, God told me something on the way here, Craig. He said that I needed to be delayed so that our team could expand. Mm. And that's how it felt, honest to goodness. Like it was very natural, even though Ramon wasn't there and he's kind of the head. Craig has been there enough. Johnny has been there enough. Martin was able to translate. I'm just kind of along for the ride. But it was very natural. And I think that I think they need that bigger team to support what's going on over there. So, you know, whether they do or not, that's for God and Ramon and Craig and the leaders of what's happening to kind of steer the ship. But the way God put it together was really awesome. And then, let's see here. one of my best memories. And y'all can ask Craig about this in more detail if you want. But, you know, Craig's a pretty straight-laced dude. Am I safe in saying that? Like, he laughs once in a while for, like, 10 seconds. And then he's back to business. Our pastor had belly laughter for about 1 hour straight. In the van with, like, 12 other people. And I'm just going to leave that right there. So anyway, it was a very, it was a great experience. I'm blessed to have been able to go. I'm blessed to be able to partner with everybody in this church and all the other churches that are invested in that ministry. And man, it's fertile soil. Man, I'd encourage you to get in there and take part, you know, whatever that looks like for you. I think there'll be more opportunities to go if that's something that is of interest to you as time goes. And anyway, God got some glory, and it's because of y'all. So.
Amen. How about everybody say thank you to the Lord for that awesome, awesome testimony. Awesome. All right. Let's welcome up Johnny. Johnny, come on up, bud. Everybody stretch your hand towards Johnny, please, if you don't care. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that you've given him, Lord. I pray, Lord, that it is indeed fertile soil that his teaching reaches this morning and that it changes us all. In the mighty name of God, I pray. Amen. Y'all welcome Johnny this morning, okay?
There it goes. I hear the rumbling now. It's working. It's good to be here this Sunday. Everybody had a good week. A cold week at that, hadn't it? It's good to come in here and just warm up with the Holy Spirit. Amen. But let's have a word of prayer if we can before we get started into God's Word this morning. Dear Father, we come to you in prayer, Lord. Lord, first of all, we just want to thank you, Lord, for searching for us, Father, for seeking after us and helping us to come to salvation, Father, that we were once lost, but now we're found. And now we're saved and we're children of God, Father. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank you for that, Father. But today, Father, this message that you gave me to share, Father, I want to pray for the ones that are lost, Father. That's out there somewhere in this world, even in our families, maybe in this building, Father, that's lost. That's never accepted you today. Father, we pray that this word would speak to their hearts today, Father. If they're watching on Facebook Live, we pray that they would come to repentance today to know that it's an honor and a privilege to have a man named Jesus search for us. We've had a lot of people hunt for us in our life, Father, but to have you search and find us, Lord, as we search and find for you, we thank you for that, Father. We pray you bless our families, bless the ones who couldn't make it today, bless Craig with good health and remove the sickness, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the ministry that he does, and Father, I pray that one day soon that I'll be able to go over there with him, Father, and minister your word wherever you send me. Father, I'd just like to do anything you have me. Anything anybody'd like to do in ministry, I'm up for it, Father. Just use me for your glory. And we pray that your word will become alive today, Father. We will gain understanding, wisdom, and knowledge from your word. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Amen. Have you ever lost something this week? Anybody lost anything this week? Your keys? Your wallet? I lose my shoes a lot. I'll put them under the coffee table in the living room when I come in. And then I'll move them out from under the coffee table. Sandy moves them somewhere. And I have to hunt them. But we lose things sometimes, right? And it's like you ever lost, get ready for work one morning and you're in a hurry to get to work and you've got to stop and get gas and you know you got to get gas. So you're trying to push time and you got 2 tens in your pocket. But when you get in the car, you've only got 1 ten. You've done misplaced the other 10 somewhere, and you really need it to get to work, and you need it because it's something that you really have to have as far as money. We need money, but your mind goes back and says, what did I do with that $10, I wonder? You ain't got time to go back in and hunt and look for it because you'll be late for work. But all through the day, you'll have that on your mind of where you may have lost that at. Your mind will replay back many places that you could have laid it down. You could have misplaced it somewhere, being out and had your hands in your pockets and pulled it out or whatsoever. But you lose it. And it stays on your mind wanting to find it. Well, today I want to go in the book of Luke, chapter 15, and verses 8 through 10, of a woman that had lost a coin. And this is a great picture as we read this parable here, it's a great picture of Jesus Christ searching for us. Amen. How he loves us so much. The Bible says he came to seek and to save the lost. Means he came looking for us. Amen. And I'm so glad he found us, ain't you? I'm so glad. In the book, it emphasizes that Jesus came to save that which is lost. God loves the lost and is actively seeking to save those. He is actively, he's constantly, always on our heels, you might say, to bring us to repentance and get us in the right direction. The coin in this is lost by carelessness of another. It's lost by carelessness. She just lost it. As we go into Scripture, I want to read the Scripture here first. Well, I may repeat this Scripture a few times during this service, okay? So just bear with me. So I want to get this word into us right here today. And the meaning of this word. Either what a woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Amen. So this lady here, she had 10 coins, right? You know, it's like sometimes when we got a little bit of money in our pocket and we lose a dollar out of 20, we don't sweat it so bad, do we? No more than we lost the 20. But if we lost a dollar, we'll look for it later. Let's just go on. You know, that ain't the way Jesus does in our life. That one in this story you're reading in Luke, it's kind of a lost and found book. The chapter is a kind of a lost and found where you see the prodigal son, the lost son. He was lost. The sheep, the 99 sheep, the one that was lost. Now here we see Jesus speaks about a coin that was lost. Jesus went after that one of that 99. He welcomed back that lost son. So it's very important to us that one is. I know at times when you be walking through Walmart, and I know I have. I've walked out in the parking lot of Walmart and see a penny laying there. I just step on over it and go on going, keep on going. I don't very seldom reach down to pick up a penny. But if it was a dollar, you'd probably reach down and pick it up, wouldn't you? More than likely, you'd pick it up, or a quarter, or half a dollar, something that's shiny, or something is bigger than a penny. But we mean as much to Jesus Christ means a lot to us that we should, when we see, well, let me get you right here. The devil's trying to get my words here. Get behind me, Satan. We are more valuable in Jesus' eyes and to him as that one penny that we'd step over. That's what I'm trying to say. We're more valuable to that. He paid a high price for us. Amen. He paid a high price, the death on the cross for us. And we should give that back to him. And what I want to get to today is this story about this coin. This woman, we see a woman that's persistent. And a lot of people think that the woman represents the Holy Spirit. Some say she represents the church because she was the one that had lost the coin and she searched diligently to find it in the Scriptures. But the lost sheep was lost by its own foolishness. You know, a sheep is a sheep will eat in one spot right here, then he'll travel on over to another spot of grass, and pretty soon he's separated from the other sheep. And at times he gets lost. It's like the parable that talks about the sheep that was lost. What does it mean to be lost? You know, a GPS takes us places, doesn't it? It takes us places. And before GPS, a lot of us don't like to get out and answer questions. I'm lost. They don't want to admit they're lost. And they sure don't want to stop and ask questions for the right direction. I know I have. We'll just take a ride up here and we'll figure out where it goes. It's got to make a circle. Sometimes a GPS will take you places that you end up lost either way it goes. It didn't take you to the right place. And a lot of people rely on that Google before they will ask somebody something. So, you know, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit if we need direction, that's for sure. Let me go to this next page right here. Okay, I got so much wrote down last night. When Jesus saves us, it means we go from lost to found, amen? Like the Amazing Grace says, I was once lost and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. But when we go from lost to found, or might well say, we are reconciled to him spiritually. We are found. We're connected. We're together. What does it mean to be saved? I mean, a lot of people know what it means to be saved. Being forgiven of our sins, number one. It means we've been adopted into His family. It means that we have placed our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've done those three, you are found by Jesus Christ. You are saved. As the scripture says, you are saved. We place our trust in Him, our faith and our trust. We're reconciled to Him. But what's the Bible talk about when we're lost, okay? We are separated from God as a result of our sins. That separation by our sins. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. But we get separated because of our sins. This is kind of a 7th, 8th grade teaching here on the salvation. But I'll get to the point here in a minute. The Bible says that what we deserve as a result of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. Ain't it great that God don't take us on out every time we do wrong? Ain't good? But that wages of sin of death is like when you get a job, you get wages. When you get paid, you wait 2 weeks to get a job. That's the wages that you get, the pay that you get for what you do for your job, the work that you put in there. That's the wages. Okay? Not only does it kill, some sins kill us physically. It kills us to death, to a natural death, a physical death. But there's a death that can kill a relationship. There's sins that can kill a relationship and put a marriage to death and separate it. There's things that comes in our life sometimes that separates friends. It'll kill a friendship. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And either way you look at it, kill is kill. Whether it kills a relationship, it kills the body, or it kills a friendship. It may kill a good job. You never know. It depends on what situation it is. But sin is what separates us, as we get the picture here. The Bible says that what we deserve is the result of sin. It says that we are hopeless, helpless, unless God intervenes on our behalf. So this is where you find yourself when you're lost. You're hopeless, helpless, and we need to call on the one that found us. Amen? Because He's always searching for us. He's always, no matter what sin you've committed, no matter what sin we've done, no matter how far we went away, just like the prodigal, we went a long way and blowed it all. It doesn't matter. As long as we come back, as long as we get back up and get back into that get into the fold where Jesus wants us to be, amen? That's when things come. Jesus Christ, we can go to Jesus Christ and be from lost to saved. That's the only place we're going to get it. No one comes to the Father but by me, the Bible says. We have to come through Jesus Christ to be from lost to found to saved. We are divided in Scripture either by two ways, not by color, not by what is it called, nationality, the Spanish or English. Let me get the right word here. We're not divided in that. We're divided. The Bible says that we're divided either we are lost or we're saved. It's only two ways. There's no halfway. I'm going to get on down here. I was going to put Yankee and a Southern. Two different ways. Some of them Yankee, some of them Southern. But God don't divide us that way. We are divided in the Scripture by either you're lost or you're saved. In 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." So it's not God's plan that anybody would be lost. You know, and a lot of times we think, well, I'm not lost. I go to church. I'm not lost. I've been saved. I remember when I was saved, when I was this big. But I went out there and lived a lot of years out in that world. And I called on Jesus in times of trouble, in times of to help me get back on my feet again. Bail me out of this and bail me out of that. But when I read that parable about the men with the talents, I thought, Lord, if I died today, I'd go straight to hell. I was considered a lost man. Even though I believed Jesus come into my heart to live when I was 8, 9 years old in vacation Bible school, I believe He did. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in no wise will I cast them out." I've read those scriptures and I believe that. So when I asked Him to come to my heart, but I went and lived out there in the world 20, 30, 40 years for the devil. Had I would have died in between those 30 years, from the time I was this big until the time that whatever the situation or circumstance, whatever sin that would have caused my death, I believe I'd have went to hell. That's my beliefs. Because I had did nothing for the Lord other than Lord come into my heart and live. Didn't make any profession. Didn't make any change. Didn't make any direction toward doing right in life. I would not have deserved to go to heaven. Not by any chance whatsoever. So I had to look here and said, Lord, am I lost or am I saved? If you came back today, am I 100% sure in my heart that I would go to heaven? That I know for sure? I didn't know for sure back then. If the Lord would ask me, said, Johnny, he's not going to set me up here in this chair on judgment day and say, look here, Johnny, sit over here. I'm going to tell you everything I've done for you in your life. He's not think he's going to ask that. I think he's going to say, what have you done for me? Can you name him? Well, Lord, I gave $10 to this girl down here that needed some help. I helped this lady across the street one time. Can you go over there and ask Doreen and come back in a few minutes? I would have been sitting in a thinking chair. In my mind, I would have been sitting in that thinking chair wondering, will I ever get in there or not? What have I done in this life that I could deserve to go to heaven? I was lost. There's no other word for it. I was lost. I was saved, but I was lost. And then it's right here. The Lord said there's not his purpose that anybody should perish, but all come to repentance. It's not God desires not the people to stay lost. In this parable, the woman that lost the coin is the story. She searches for the coin, and the story reveals to us the heart of God to see the lost saved. That's what this parable is, the heart of God to see the lost saved. And he uses this coin. I believe the coin's the people. In the scripture, what I've gathered from it, the coin's the people. And the woman is that she searches, that right there, I believe that's God. He searches. And the lamp is the gospel, I believe. It's the light of the world. And this coin represents a person that's lost, though. That's what I see. What I've gathered from the coin is a person that's lost. We see a woman that's careful in her search. She lights a candle. She lights a lamp and sweeps diligently till she finds it. Ain't you glad we serve a careful Lord? Amen. I know many times I can see this woman now in her house. Back in them days, they didn't have bamboo flooring from Dalton Carpets. Or they didn't have the laminate flooring from one of these carpet mills around here. They had dirt floors and hay on top of it. That's what I've studied in the scripture. They had hay on it, and they didn't have much light in there. They usually the doorway or maybe a little opening in the window to let a light in because they didn't have Georgia Power or Dalton Utilities. They was living it kind of rough back in them days. But you could see this woman down here on her knees, and she's looking for this. She had 10 of them, right? The Bible says she had 10. Now you see her down here, and she loses one, and she's hunting. You know, and I wonder if her husband was thinking, you need to go and find that other one. I got to buy a cell phone this week. I need that money. Or the kids say, Mama, what are you tearing the house apart for? What is she on her knees digging in the floor for? You know, when us like that the dirt, to me, I think it represents some of the sin we got in our life. Amen. And that old hay is just a covering of it, like the enemy does. He'll cover up things. But the Lord gets down there and he starts looking back and forth, starts moving that hay back, starts getting to the source of the sin in our life so we can get it fixed. Amen. And then bring things to surface. That's what he's about to do. I don't know why he put me on a salvation story today, but this is what it's come out to be. God loves us, and he sent his son down here to die for us today. And if you're watching out there on that Facebook and you're lost, just like this woman right here, she didn't give up. And Jesus is never going to give up on you. He's still searching today. But that don't give us a license to sin, saying he's always going to come back. Now, we need to get our head together. We need to get real with God as much as he's real with us. We need to get serious with God as he's serious with us. And we need to start getting these coins together. Start reaching out to these people, to what it's about. We need to reach other people. These coins represent the people. And there's a lot of lost people. There's lost people in our families, right? We got brothers and sisters that's lost. We need to diligently search for them too, just as Jesus does for us. We need to spend time trying to find these people, trying to bring them to repentance. Amen? Trying to teach them about the Word of God, because time's running out and the door's going to close. She sweeps the house and searches carefully. She don't sweep the house like we do. Back in those days, she didn't have a broom, I don't guess. She had a broom or a mop. They didn't need a mop, I don't guess. But you don't clean up. Sometimes when we clean the house, you ever looked in the house and said, well, look at there. There's something I found I lost 6 months ago. I can't believe I found it. But you see how easy it is to forget about that something we lost and just go on about our business. We do. We'll find ourselves just forgetting. Well, I couldn't find it. I've looked everywhere in the house. And the Lord has put something in me, and I aggravate standing death. When I lose something, I'm good at it. My keys, most of all, and my shoes. I'll lose stuff, and it'll just eat me inside till I find it. I'll keep searching, keep searching, and keep searching. And I'm like, Lord, I thank you for putting that into me. Because that helps me to go out here and reach the people that's lost. I just keep on going. And I run into a lot of people. They'll have these Gloria Vanderbilt shirts on and these Abercrombie Finch clothes. And they drive one of these, what they call them, Lexuses now that's really expensive. And you look up at them and say, oh, they look like they're doing good. They got it going on. They're blessed. And be lost. I'm serious. To be lost. 16-year-old, 17-year-old kids. 30-year-olds. That's never known Jesus Christ. But I'm so glad that God put that persistent in me like he did this woman in this book. She was persistent. She wasn't going to stop till she found it. And a lot of us think, well, I've got 9 more, just let it go. If we can't find it, we can't find it. And we give up. That's what's happened to our world today. We give up. We've give up on people. We've give up on relationships. We've give up on jobs. We've give up on teaching people about Jesus Christ and how to be saved. It's what's happening in this world today. We got to diligently seek to. We got to get in there and search and dig until we find it and not stop till we find it. There's a lot of people that I witness to and the Lord just burdened me. I mean, he'll stay on me hard. I said, God doesn't have said no. Lord, I went back again. Now they won't let me come to the door. God said, go back again, go back again. Well, Lord, you're going to have to go before me this time. You're going to have to come up with something. And he does. He'll come up with something. And the more you go back, the more you keep trying. And there's times that, you know, as the scripture said, just shake the dust off your feet and go on. That's hard for me to do. I know it's scripture, but it's hard for me to do. And I've got family members and friends that I have just been begging to come to church. I beg them. I offer to feed them, buy them clothes, whatever it takes. I want them to come to church because I know there's a better life. Because I know Jesus searched and he found me. Amen. And I was way out there in that dirt floor. I was way out there. And I was in one of them dark rooms that didn't have a light in it. I stayed way out there in that darkness. But the Bible says that his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When he come in there, you know, I thought, I've been in them old apartments doing them old drugs and stuff and alcohol so many years. And I wanted to spray paint the windows black where nobody could see in and I couldn't see out. I just stayed so secluded to the drug world because it was darkness. I didn't like darkness, but that what I was in. If the light come in, I'm like, get that out. And that's the way we are a lot of people, Christians today. When the light comes in, and a lot of people that's lost, they just want to, no, get out of here. That's too much for me. And that's the way that white was, because I was so ate up in sin, so covered up in it. But when I went outside after getting off all them drugs, and I saw a tree, I'm like, God, these trees are pretty. And the water, there's real water out here. Amen. It was nice. The world was beautiful. When I started getting into the light and I started looking through God's eyes at things that I'd never really paid attention to being so pretty and being so beautiful in the world because I was so much hid in darkness. And there wasn't about, I was about not telling nobody about Jesus. I kept my coin in the house and it stayed hid and I didn't even look for it, to be honest with you. I never even looked for it. But there's something in you that will help other people. And I pray that this message today will encourage you to go out and find somebody. Search for them. If they come, God will send them your way. You just pray, Lord, I want to raise my family up to you. I know my grandmother prayed for me, and I've said this many times. My grandmother prayed for me when I was just this 7, 8 years old, 5, 6 years old. And we'd walk down the end of her road and go to a church called Gospel Way Baptist Church when I was just this big. And she'd dress me up all fancy, and we'd get down there and sit in church. And it just made her day to see her grandson in church. And she'd always out here pray. She'd read Revelations and cry for a little while. Then she'd go into some more scriptures and she'd just be sitting on the couch where the wood heater was, just praising the Lord. And I thought, Lord, I like her. She's nice and she's sweet and she's kind. And I never knew that she would pray for me so hard that I would grow up. And I can remember, Lord, I pray that you just raise him up to be a good man of God. And she just sat there and hold. You know how grandmothers are. They hold you good. They give you the loving that's just different from anybody else. And she would hold me and she said, look, God's going to make something out of you one day that's going to be good for him. And I never thought about that. And I can still remember my grandma saying that. But my grandmother died years ago, 30 years ago, I guess. But, you know, God honored her prayer. The righteous prayer availeth much. He honored that prayer. It may have took 30, 40 years to get me out of that darkness. But God honored that prayer. And even though she's done dead and gone, he still honored it and changed my life. Amen. And he'll do the same for you. But it starts somewhere that we have to be. She was persistent. Just like this woman here looking. But my grandmother was so persistent. I just prayed this family would get in there. I'd teach her children Jesus Christ. Taught me about Jesus. She was just so persistent. And kept on searching. She'd search them scriptures for the right words to say. And that's what we do sometimes. Sometimes we have to get in here and do some searching. We get into something. And I'm like, Lord, will you answer me? And sometimes he don't say nothing. It might, you know, a lot of times we want to get our answers from other people. And I got adapted to that for a little while. And God said, look, I can talk to you if you listen. You don't have to go to Google to get the answer. You don't have to read a church sign going down the road. All you got to do is just search the scriptures. Bible says you search the scriptures and he'll answer your questions. And he has. So, when you know, a lot of times I'll get two people, Bible said, out of the mouth of two witnesses. Two people will tell me something and I'll take it to heart that God's sent that person to tell me if it's something good for me. But I always go to the scripture to get the confirmation. I've learned just always search the scripture till you find it. Just like this corner. Just keep on looking. God's got an answer in there. Let me go on down through here a minute. As I mentioned to you, this woman, she may represent the church. She may represent the Holy Spirit. I can't say that for sure, but that's just what some people say that I've studied up on. The lamp represents the gospel of Jesus Christ. The lost are out there in the dark world and in the midst of sin. They're doomed because of sin. Only the light of the gospel can save them. We can help reach the lost. We have to search diligently for them. Like you would if you lost something meaningful to you. Just as Jesus searches for us. When we lose something, you ever loan somebody something? Look, this right here. You ever loan somebody something, maybe a nice jacket or a dress that you... And then you'll tell them, look, don't ruin that. I paid a lot of money for that. Or when you bring them in, get in your car or something. Don't you spill nothing in here. I spent a lot of money on this car. Look, we are invaluable. We are valuable to God. Can I tell you? And just as Sean was praying today to give you a message, we are valuable to God. We mean something. It may be that penny that you step over in Walmart may not mean nothing to you, but a dollar bill will. But look, we mean more than that, anything in the world to Jesus Christ. And we are valuable to him. He gave his life for us that we could serve him and be his disciples. And what disciples do? They go out and seek the lost too. And they hunt for people that need to know Jesus. I hunt for them. I can go into Walmart and I'll find them somewhere. God, which one you want me to go to? And the Lord will send me to the right person. I tell you, I can go anywhere in town and witness. But if I don't go through the Holy Spirit, I don't get the progress that God wants to make out of the day of ministry or a day of witnessing. The progress don't come. So I'm like, Lord, now I want to go where you want to go. And there's a lot of times I go when they're just not into it. I'm saying, Lord, why did you send me out here, Lord Jesus? They cussed me out. Why did you send me over here, Lord? They don't want to talk to me. Nobody's getting saved today. And sometimes the Lord will tell me, look, it's not about whether they get saved or not. It's not about if they cuss you out. And I'm like, Lord, they said some pretty mean things to me. He said, just take it and go on. They nailed me to a tree. You got it going on. But, you know, when we go into somewhere to reach this lost people, there's many of them out there. And, you know, and God don't look at us like, you know, we say, look, like I was giving the example, we have $10, but we lose $5 or lose $1 out of that $10. We don't really sweat it that bad. But it's very important to God. He takes that very seriously that we are that one. Just like after he went out to 99, after he went out to the prodigal son, all these things were representing people that were lost. That was the book of being found. That's what I call the book of Luke, lost and found. And we can be found. God's not his plan that any of us should perish. Okay, we see that the woman is persistent here in what she searches for. And I'm going to summarize this parable again. The parable of the lost coin in Luke 15, 8 through 10. In this parable, a woman loses one of the 10 silver coins. She keeps searching until she finds it. Then she calls her friends and her neighbors to rejoice that she has found her coin. The parable of the lost is a moral lesson that is God's love is so great for all of us. People, that he won't give up on trying to bring every lost person back to him. Each person returns to him is a cause for celebration. The Bible says that they don't throw a big party. He said there's a celebration and the angels are rejoicing that one sinner comes to repentance. And I'm sure everybody here has got somebody we can pray for today. Amen. Somebody in our family, maybe our spouse, maybe our brother or sister, maybe a neighbor, maybe somebody you work with, but there's somebody that we can pray for today that's lost out there, just like this coin that's lost, and nobody's hunting for them. There's nobody searching for them. We know Jesus is, but God will send forth a messenger, and we're going to pray today that God would use us to be that messenger to go help this person that's lost in this dark place that they can be found. Amen. Let's pray that prayer today. I'm going to finish this last one. The lady here represents God. The coins represent the people. The lost coin symbolizes a lost soul that God will bring. God will work endlessly to bring back to him, rejoicing upon their return. Here's three main messages we can get from this parable. Every loss is worth fighting for. Amen. God does not stop searching. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's saying, look here, I'm going all the way to the cross for you. You may not come to me, but I'm going to you. I'm going to go ahead and pay the sin debt today on the cross, the Bible said. I'm searching for you from that moment on. From that day forth, he's been searching for every one of us. And I'm so glad he found me because I was a mess. God went to great lengths to create our world, to plan every detail of our being, and to try to convince us to follow him for our eternal salvation. That says a lot about love from God, don't it? That's a lot. There ain't nobody going to love you as much as he does. There ain't no way. God's love goes beyond humanity, goes beyond humanly love. It goes beyond our comprehension. It's the highest form of love. When we understand the depths of God's love, it's easier to see that he will never give up searching for one lost soul and celebrate his or her return. Here it is, the third one. You are as valuable as anybody else. It don't matter whether you're rich, you're poor, or you ain't got this, or you ain't got that, or you're not popular. You are valuable to God. As if every time you now, when you go to Walmart and you see a penny laying on the ground, you're probably going to pick it up. But that's how we are. Look, we may look like it's worthless to a penny may be worthless to us in this generation. But if it was a dollar or $10, we'd turn around and snatch it up. But we're worth something, no matter what. And just as these people we run across, don't step over them like a penny in the parking lot. Tell them about Jesus. Ask God to send you to the right place where there's a harvest that people can get saved. And I believe that's the message today. God wants to put some ministry in us to reach the lost. Because there's so many people out there. It's just, I've met so many out here witnessing on the streets, just waited on somebody to invite them. That's all they was waiting on. They've never had a life. They've never had a family that taught them about Jesus. They never had a home church. They never had morals in life and standards in life. They never had anything but just what the world showed them. But when you come up to him and say, hey, there's a better life, and his name's Jesus Christ, and then it'll amaze you of what, just to see their face, really? I can get saved? I can get off drugs? I can get off alcohol? I can get off probation? Really, I can do that? You can do all things through Christ, which strange as Scripture said. They're just waiting on somebody to tell them. Jesus spoke this parable over 2,000 years ago, and his message still applies today to you. If you have let yourself drift away from God or intentionally left him, he will not stop to try to get you back. He paid a great price on the cross for us. He's like the woman searching for the corn. He's always searching, hoping, and waiting for you to be found. Don't wait too long. Today you can be saved. His love never fades. He has billions of followers. Amen? And you're just as important as one of the billion. Have you turned your back on the Lord in any way at all? Have you been misplaced in something? You've misplaced. You feel like you've lost your place in the Lord. You've lost where you need to be in Christ Jesus. If you're watching out there today, if you've never been saved, or if you are lost, like this coin right here, Jesus is looking for you. Amen? I know when the police used to hunt for me, I got away. And that wasn't a good feeling to know they was hunting you. But what peace it brings to know Jesus Christ is looking for you today. And He wants to bless you. He wants to change your life. He wants to make life better. You won't be lost in that old dirt floor under all that straw in the dark place. You'll be found. Amen. And the light of Jesus Christ will surround you. Things will start brightening up in life. Things will start changing. Love, peace, joy, happiness will start coming into your house. Amen. But we got to get hooked up to the blesser. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this parable. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we were that coin at one time. And you came searching for us, Father, and we're so glad you found us. So glad, Lord Jesus, that we didn't stay in our hiding places, Lord. We came out of the darkness and accepted you as our personal Savior. Father, I pray that there's people out here today on this that's listening on this Facebook, if there's anybody in this church, Lord, anybody in our families, Lord Jesus, and I'm sure there's somebody that's just like this corn. Let us be like the woman, Lord. Let us go into the houses. Let us go into the homes. Let us go in being part of their lives, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus, to dig through the straw and the dirt till we find these people, Father, and bring them to you. Show us the ones, Lord Jesus, you want us to visit. We can't find them unless you show us. You're the light of the world. And you light up our path, is what the Scripture tells us. Lord, we pray that you'd light the path to people, Lord, in our families, friends, co-workers, everywhere we go, in the grocery store, Father. Light up that path, Father, that we could go out and reach these people that's lost. There's so many of them, Lord, that just want to hear Jesus loves you. And there's nobody to tell them. I pray that you'd help us, God. We could reach these people in the name of Jesus. So they not perish, Father, and not die in face of burning hell. I pray today, God, that you would help the people, Lord Jesus, that's struggling, Father. They feel like there's something misplaced. They can't find it. Whatever their calling is, whatever the ministry is you have them for, they just can't seem to find it, Father. And I meet so many people that say, I'm just lost out here. I don't know which way I'm going. And the world's taking them so many different roads, Father. Roads of destruction, setbacks. Father, we pray today, God, that you just bring them back. Send us their way. Father, we'll minister to them and we'll tell them what you've taught us. We'll share it with them. Because I know it worked for us, Father. I know it'll work for them. And we thank you for this woman, Lord Jesus. You gave this illustration that you are the one, Lord Jesus, that's hunting us, searching us. And you plan to find us, Father. Lord, help us to be submissive to you, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be diligent to you, Father, that we're always active, always searching for you also, Father. Every day in our life that we wake up, the Bible says, those that seek me early find me. And I pray, Lord Jesus, as we wake every morning, we can seek you, and we do find you. You make our day so much better, Father, when we follow you. Thank you that we're not lost no more, God. Thank you that we have been found, and we're saved by the grace of God. And we're going to heaven one day, Father. But there's many out there, Lord Jesus, that just needs to hear your word. Send us out there to search for them, Lord. And we thank you. Bless this day, Father. Bless the holidays, Father, that's coming up. Bless people that's going to be traveling all over the world, Father. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that Thanksgiving dinner come up next week, Father, that we could be at that table with family we hadn't seen in many years, or family we hadn't seen in a long time, Father, that we could start doing some searching. And meet family members. Bring them out. Help to bring them out of that old dark place they're hid in, Father. Get them out from under the straw and the dirt, Father, and the filth of the world. Bring them into you in the name of Jesus. We pray for our children today, Father, that you continue to bless them. Help us, Lord Jesus, so we can also teach them while they're young that they not die in the future, Father, from things of the world. And be separated from us. Be separated from anybody, Father. We love our children. We thank you for them. We ask you to help us to search the scriptures to teach them, Father, the right words that will grow them up in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, God, for loving us. Thank you for saving our souls. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you.
Literally means to suffer together. It is defined among some researchers as the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. A couple of months ago, I heard a very clear and short word from the Lord for me. And as Johnny was teaching today, it made me think that this is something that he's calling us all to. He only said this to me. He said, have compassion on the people. Have compassion on the people. I do this strange thing where I'll repeat a phrase over and over again. Have compassion on the people. God was very pleased with our worship. He said he found a place where he could rest. But for some reason, in this season that we're going into, he's calling us to compassion. Compassion is what carried Craig and Chad and Johnny and Martin to the Dominican Republic in the middle of nowhere. Jesus calls us into this life. As a part of this process, he will ask us, are you willing to suffer with other people? Are you willing to relieve their pain? Because that is why he came. Have compassion on people. Now, many of us here probably already do have a relationship with God. However, if you find yourself in a place this morning where you're not sure if you have a relationship with God and want to feel that compassion, I want you to pull a seat up to this table right here next to Johnny and Sandra. I want you to talk to Johnny about a relationship with God. It is the single most important decision you will ever make in your life. Amen. Compassion again. Jan directed us to do this morning. I feel is led by the Holy Spirit. Once again, if we can have Steve, Alexis, and Amber, maybe Josh over in this corner. If you need physical healing in your body, if there's something that is ailing you or troubling you or bothering you, I want you to go to those four people who will have the Holy Spirit's compassion and ask them to pray over you to get relief from your suffering. If there is a pain or a scar you have on the inside that you would like prayer for that is unseen, it could be emotional. If there's a trauma, you don't have to spill your guts in front of us. But we are here to ask the Holy Spirit to work on your behalf. And Jan and Doreen and I will be up here in this corner. Three places of compassion at this table, right here for salvation. In that corner for physical healing. In this corner right here for emotional healing. We're just going to let Whitney pray. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you guys. And if everybody's in a good place, praise God. We'll praise God. Go on to Cracker Barrel.